So we are doing this series called God Is, and it's one of the most important things that we do. We do it every few years, and we consider the attributes and character of this God that we all gather every Sunday to turn our attention toward. It's one of the most important things because this is what we do as a church. We need to know what God is like if we're going to do anything about that in the world, in our lives, in our communities, and in just the way that we interact with each other. We need to know who is God. What is God? So today we're talking about the name that God gave God's self, I Am, which seems like a pretty important place to start. How does God refer to himself? How does God describe himself? So I've got a lot of slides this morning. The word God has lots of meanings and lots of implications, and everyone says it. Everyone uses the word God, and a lot of times we assume that we're talking about the same thing. We should have actually many different names, but we just have this one word, God. Especially in America or in our globalized society, we use this word and we make assumptions that if I say God and you say God, we're talking about the same thing. But in this time that we are reading about, they knew that they were not talking about the same thing. There were many, many gods. And so if you said God, they'd be like, which one? Who? What are you talking about? And we just kind of take that for granted. But they knew that the God that Sharon might be talking about might be very angry and prefer goat sacrifices, right? And then the God that Lauren is talking about might be able to control the water or the wind. You know, it mattered. What God are you talking about? And it matters to us also because these attributes and these character qualities of God determine how we relate to this being, how we relate to each other. If God is the way that we talked about it with, I think, Titus, was that they believed that God was very sneaky and could get what he wanted through manipulation. And so if that is a character quality of God, then that is something to aspire to, that we can be the smartest and we can outsmart each other. But if that is not how God is, then maybe we should rethink that. So it's really important when I say God and when you say God, how do we know if we're talking about the same thing? All right. So we already have a way to solve this. So I'm going to give an example of, you know, two people with the same name, right? So Marquette has two really good friends named Carrie, and I am friends with one of them. So anytime I walk into the room and I say, Marquette, who are you on the phone with? And she says, Carrie, I get kind of excited and I'm like, ooh, which Carrie? And if it's the Carrie that I know, then I'm like, oh, tell me what's up. Like, what's going on? Tell her all of these things. Because I have a relationship with that Carrie. But the other Carrie, I don't. So the way that Marquette tells me which one she's talking about is she tells me something about the person. Oh, it's the Carrie that I went to college with. Or the Carrie from Edgewood Church. Oh, you know, the Carrie, fill in the blank. Right? We can even do this for people that we don't know their names, right? So who's that guy? That guy that, like, drives the tractor, right? Thomas. That's right. Right? And then who's that guy, the guy that preaches sometimes? The bald one. Is that Adam? All right. Who's the lady that claps? Sure. But the lady that has the daughters.
Oh,
Jenny. Yeah. All right. And so, right. Yeah, it's fun. So we differentiate between these same names by attributes and character qualities. We could also be like the one who's from Ohio. You know, I made that up. But we're using these attributes to determine who we're talking about, even if we use the same name. So we do that with God also. we can identify God either by these names that we know, but also sometimes even more helpful than a name, because we sometimes still aren't talking about the same thing. Sometimes more helpful is the story or the attribute of this God or this person. So this is exactly what the Bible is in general. It is these collection of stories that people have seen God and interacted with God, and we are able to use these stories to tease out these character qualities of God so that we also are able to then identify, which God is it that I'm interacting with in my life? How can I expect God to interact with us now? All right, got it?
Got it.
Got it. All right, so we know how to solve this problem. So this is one of the most crucial stories for the people of Israel to understand who their God is. God names God's self, and God also, in this story, gives you a few things of this is how I am. And so they are able to see different from the other gods around them when they're interacting with their God specifically. So Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. So this word, we're going to do some Hebrew, which I think is really fun. This word is Elohim. It's actually plural. So came to the mountain of gods. Many, many gods. So Moses is on the mountain of general title for deity, gods. All right. And then the bush was on fire, and Moses went over. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." So this is a little bit confusing because this Lord is the proper noun, the divine name that God is about to give himself, right? So it's a little bit like Paul says to Steve, "Hi, my name is Paul," right? You know the person's name before the person in the story knows the person's name.
Got it.
So this Lord in all caps, when you see that in your Old Testament, that is the divine proper name, this one specific God of the Israelites, Yahweh. And they do that just so that you can tell when they're talking about Lord, proper noun, Yahweh, creator God, and when you're just talking about someone who's in charge, Lord. All right, so we're just going to go through the story a little bit and see how this, why God chooses this name. All right. Then God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." This is the story. Remember, he is identifying himself by, these are the stories that you've heard about me. And at this, Moses hid his face because he knew. He knew who he was interacting with because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "Indeed, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And you know all of those people, I'm sure. Right. Lots of people with lots of other gods. "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." And Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers,'" the story, what if the story is not enough, the attributes, "has sent me to you?" And they ask me, "Then what is his name?" What if they've forgotten? What if they have forgotten who you are? Who can I say that you are? "What should I tell them?" And God says to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. So this word, I am, is echweh. Echweh. It is the to be verb. Specifically, it is the first person. It is I am. So that Yahweh part is the third person. So anytime that someone else is saying it or writing it, they write Yahweh because it's He is, God is. And Echweh is when God is talking about God's self saying, I am. But Moses shouldn't go to the Egyptians and say, I am, sent me. That doesn't make any sense. So they use Yahweh. But this Echweh, this to be verb, is the name that God has given God's self. So here is the story, the God of your fathers, the story of Abraham and God's faithfulness. And here is my name, I am. So what does this imply? What is the difference between the God of all of those people groups that we saw listed, the God of the Egyptians, and this one specific proper noun, Yahweh God, that is sending Moses to rescue these people? So, but what am I? What is I am? What does that imply? So the very first thing is being. Being. God is being. Is and was and will be, the verb. Right? That encompasses a lot. It implies alive and existence. Because a rock is not a being. You know, something that doesn't have that spark of life. We're not going to belabor a lot of these points, but I just want to go through this. So the I am word of God is just the being, the very being of God is, was, and will be. The next thing I want to talk about is God is personal. The I am phrase. So when we think about God as being personal, it really differentiates gods from other types of gods we might hear about or talk about. Because it's so hard to describe this being that is otherly beyond something that we can describe. And so we use really large imagery, like God is a force and an energy, and God moves like water, and God blows like wind. But these are not what God is. This is the attributes that we use to describe something that we cannot describe. Because if you think of God like a force, like gravity, right? Gravity doesn't care about you at all. You could step out a window and fall to the ground, and that is neither right nor wrong of gravity to do that thing to you, right? There is energy and movement, and it's a good thing to think of God as just this ever-present being, but God is not only that thing, because if God is just a force or just an energy, then God is impersonal and amoral, which means just there is no morality that God can be a part of, right? So that's important. God is personal, using the word I am. It is not, it is what it is, but I am who I am. All right, let's see. Being personal. Conscious. All right, we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. God sees, hears, and engages. Before we even know God's name, I have indeed seen the misery of my people, and I have heard their cry, and I am concerned, and so I have come. Right?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
God is conscious, has feelings. We are made in the image of God. And so God engages with us on that see, hear, understand, and engage. Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of God that you want. You don't want a God that is without thought. No, you want a God that thinks and feels and does something. Indeed. Also, before God has a name, God is with you. Moses encounters this. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you." This is a really, really cool phrase. So this is before God really has a name. And God said, "Echwezeh, I am with you. What I am is with you." So this God that we can differentiate between other types of gods, other gods, we can know that it is this God, because this God is forever in its essence with us. What I am is with you. And this is the God that Jesus points to, right? And that's why we care about this story at all, because we are Christians following Christ. And so Jesus came teaching about this God using the same character qualities, the same attributes, the same name, saying that this God is now for all people and wants to engage all people because God is with all of us in the way that it is God's character to be with all of us. And the last thing, God is consistent. I am who I am. You and I, we are only sometimes what we are. Lauren, I wish Lauren could just talk about this. We are only sometimes what we are. So you meet a friend and you really hit it off, and they're very kind and very generous and very adventurous, and then you decide to be roommates. And you realize that this person is only sometimes kind and generous and adventurous and also has these other qualities that maybe make them not such a good roommate. This happens when we get married too, right? You choose the best person you can find, and then you realize that they are so great, but most of the time, you know? Not all of the time. And you make it work, and it's great. But God is always who God is. The way that we can rely upon God is consistent. So this is why we do God stories. Because this God that I experience, you can trust to experience that God as well. And we share stories and we add to this collection of stories about who God is to us and how we've seen God be faithful and kind and loving and consistent and present. And God is with us consistently. So I know that we just ran through that really quick, but it's just something that it's so packed full, that I am name of God. It implies so much, and this story is so critical to the understanding of who we're talking about. This is how the people of Israel understood this God to be, how they could tell, right? And one thing I want to come back to is, sometimes you know the story. Sometimes you know the experience of God, and you don't know the name. And that's okay. There are many, many people throughout all of history who have experienced God by the character of God without a name. And that is still God. There are also people who experience something else, something that is not loving and not kind, and that is not God. But it still sometimes is called a God, right? And so this is something that we need to use both tools, right? We can use a name, but we have to match the character. And we can use the character to all be influenced and identify God, but we don't have to have the name, but they work together to kind of check and see, who is it that we are engaging with? Who is it that we are following and trusting and loving?
Amen.